This is Simon Walker, chairman of Constellation, the Huntsworth group of communications agencies, Grayling, Citygate, New Rogerson, Red, and Quiller. Over the past few weeks, we've been holding breakfast briefings on navigating business through the COVID-19 noise with leaders of business, media, and politics. The feedback from our invited audience was so strong, we thought we should share them on a wider platform. So here are the first briefings, which we have turned into 20-minute podcasts, which I hope you will find insightful and useful. We live in uncertain times. As a former Director General of the Institute of Directors, I know that many businesses up and down this country will be feeling the economic strain of COVID. Uncertain times mean change and innovation, which the communications industry is going to have to embrace if it is to help and support its clients to think differently. Whether it's about training, employee engagement, risk or reputation, the times ahead will be challenging, but will offer huge and exciting opportunities for businesses going forward. We as advisors just need to be even more creative and innovative in order to help clients through the emergence out of COVID. Our first briefing was with Lord Karan Billamoria, Deputy President of the CBI, becoming president this summer. Lord Billamoria is founder and chairman of Cobra Beer, as well as a crossbench peer. With the Prime Minister recently back from leave, stating that without the drive and commitment of the wealth creators, there will be no economy, we asked Lord Billamoria's views.
Thank you very much, Simon, and it's very good to be with all of you this morning. What a situation we're in. If you want to call it a nightmare, the word unprecedented keeps coming up the whole time. And I look back at 2002, 2003, and I was actually in China when the SARS epidemic hit, and that took everyone by surprise. But of course, it lasted for a while. It didn't really spread around the world, and 9 months or so, SARS was over, it was history. And here we are almost two decades later, and we had have another epidemic that started in China. And I just look back and I think of being in India in February with the University of Cambridge, with the University of Birmingham, with two delegations out there in India. And that was just 2.5 months ago, and how the world has changed since then. From my own business point of view, from Cobra Beer, wearing that hat, when the lockdown was announced on the 23rd of March, our sales came to a complete halt. Over two-thirds of our sales through the on-trade. We supply over 6,000 restaurants, bars, pubs, including the Indian restaurants, Bangladeshi restaurants, Sri Lankan, Nepalese, Pakistani, as well as Turkish and Japanese and Chinese and gastropubs, and they're all shut. A few of them are doing takeaways. Off-trade sales through the supermarkets are actually increasing with just one SKU. We could do much better, but our production is limited at a time like this. So what I've noticed with this crisis is, one, that it's a demand and supply. Secondly, the domino effects are just reverberating all the way through the supply chain. The next thing is that it's global. So India, where I was born and brought up, is 1.3 billion people under a lockdown at the moment. And the other thing is that it is a global crisis. It's the whole world that is affected. And then you look back to the financial crisis, and I've nearly lost my business three times. Each of the three times, you could say, were black swan events that I could not necessarily have predicted. I made lots of mistakes. And one of my favorite sayings is good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. And I made loads of mistakes. But those, I could not have necessarily predicted those crises. It's how you deal with the crises that matters to get to the other side. And in my case, having a strong brand really helped. Having the support of my team and my family really helped. And always trying to play with a straight bat and operating with integrity, I think, made a huge difference in getting through those crises. And I think there's no question about it. We as a country are in a much stronger position dealing with the crisis now, having gone through the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. Our regulatory system, our supervision of our financial system, our banks, our financial sector is in a much stronger position than it was in 2008, 2009. So I think that's a good place to be, where it's uncertainty, ambiguity, pressure. Those are words that are just affecting all of us, dislocation, anxiety. And I don't think there's any running away from it, whatever business you're in. And in my case, with the hospitality industry, 5 million people work in that industry in this country. We're closed now. When are we going to open? How are we going to open? if it's with social distancing, how can you ask a restaurant or a bar to operate with just 50% capacity? It's probably not going to be practical. And the other aspect of it is the government help. I think that Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, has done a great job right off the bat in the middle of March, coming out with lots of measures. As a country, I think we were very good in leading the way with a lot of these measures. And in a percentage of GDP terms, if you take the loans into account, a very good way of dealing with it. Bank of England straight away dropping interest rates to 0.1%, the lowest since 1694 when the Bank of England was started. $200 billion of quantitative easing straight off the bat. I mean, again, that's the experience of financial crisis. We could do that straight away. And then all the measures that we've had from the Chancellor, which we can discuss. But I said, right at the beginning, what business needs more than anything at a time like this is cash. So the job retention scheme, I think, is very good. It's very expensive at over £10 billion a month. All the other measures, rates relief for retail outlets, delaying your taxes, delaying your if you're self-employed, your taxes, all those are really, really helpful to business. But the businesses still have to pay their rents. You may get a three-month rent holiday, but the landlords are chasing. And if this is going to drag on, what about the landlords getting their rent? Who's going to support the landlords? Because they have to pay their mortgages. And this is the domino effect that goes through. So we've got to look ahead to how we restart. And at the CBI, we look at it in three phases, that it's going to be a restart, and then it's going to be a renewal, and then a revival. Restart, revival, renewal. Those are three phases of the getting the economy back and running. And when do we do that? And this is where I think the health crisis is absolutely key. And the modeling and the assumptions that are being made, are the economists being involved enough? Do we need business and science working closer together? As Amartya Sen, the Nobel laureate, who I'm privileged to know, who was master of Trinity College and now at Harvard, he said that, you know, people die from disease, but people also sadly die from unemployment. So the economic crisis is terrible and we've got to get out of it. And I don't think the OBR figures of 35% decline in this quarter are in any way exaggerated. If anything, they could be worse. I don't think their predictions for the whole year, the IMF predictions, I think most people would say are far too optimistic. It's going to be much worse for the world. So how do we get out of this and restart in a way without compromising the health? And this is the other sad thing about it. This disease doesn't discriminate. It is highly infectious. I got it. 15th of March, it hit me from nowhere. It took me 2 weeks to recover. Luckily, I didn't have to be hospitalized, but I couldn't get tested. So I think some of the things we've done really badly in this country, one, you could argue, should we have locked down earlier or not? That is a debate. And most people say we perhaps should have locked down earlier. But more important than that, I think we were unprepared in terms of our health service, in terms of critical care beds. And Germany, for example, has three times as many beds as we do. But then we showed, as a country, how we can get our act together very well and very quickly with the Nightingale hospitals. I think what we did there was fantastic in 9 days. And the reason that worked, and I think, well, this is a message that is coming through this crisis and evolving, is things work not when it's just government directing things, owning things, holding on to things. It's when there's collaboration between business and government, including the NHS, the armed forces, in this case, the Gurkhas as well, and universities, the University of East London, all working together with the Excel Centre, putting up a 4,000-bed hospital in 9 days. That's remarkable. And now across the country, we have that critical bed capacity. We didn't have the ventilators. We now have got the ventilators that we need. PPE has been shambolic. And then the worst thing, the care sector, completely ignored. It was only week before last that we even started talking about the care sector, where there are 1.5 million people working in social care. There are 1 million people, 500,000 in hospitals and in nursing homes and care homes, and 500,000 having care in their homes, with hardly any PPE, no testing. Patients being sent to hospitals from a care home and sent back to a care home without being tested. And now we're realizing, like the rest of Europe, 50% of the deaths, sadly, and every one of those deaths is really sad, and hearts, prayers go out to their loved ones and families. 50% of them are in care homes, and we weren't even counting those deaths. And that sector is completely under-resourced. and is now getting the attention it deserves. So testing is a huge issue, and we really, really, today is a day we're supposedly meant to get the 100,000 target. We need testing now for our workers. I think our workers need, they're going to come out of this. If you can have testing for people before they go back into work, that will give the confidence to workers, to businesses, to the public. And then, of course, there's the treatments and the science in terms of vaccines. And one of my very close friends is Cyrus Poonawalla, who's the biggest vaccine manufacturer in the world with the Serum Institute in India, and they're working round the clock to try and get the Oxford vaccine. If that works, if that is what it says it is, and the trials work in September, they're already producing millions of those vaccines now and taking that risk to get it out in the market. So there is hope, but that will probably take time. We just had news today that Remisida, the drug, one trial in China was not good. We've now had a trial giving us hope that that could help. If we can have any drugs that can stop people dying, get people recovering quicker in hospital, that will change the picture as well. So I'm very optimistic on those grounds, and I am optimistic that we can come out of this in a phased way, but we can't take a risk with the health, because sadly, there are people dying every day who would not be dying were it not for coronavirus.
Lord Billimoria then took questions from over 100 business leaders attending the session. Key highlights were reputation. It's how you respond to a crisis that matters. No one could have predicted this crisis, and it will be how businesses get through it that matters for the long term. Operating with integrity is critical reputationally to all your business partners, including shareholders. The pre-coronavirus investor trend of making investment decisions on the premise of broad business values, as well as financial performance, is set to continue. Dealing with everyone with a partnership mindset will stand you in good stead. Cash is key. Government has been quick to respond and is listening to business, but what businesses need more than ever is cash. We need the cash government has deployed to banks and local authorities flowing through far more effectively through, particularly to SMEs. A 100% rather than 80% backed government loan scheme, like those seen in Germany and Switzerland, should have been in place from the outset. Government action shouldn't be delayed by concerns about banks having skin in the game. Other countries are proving that necessary checks and balances for loans can be carried out anyway. There are three R's ahead of us: restart, renewal, and revival. We don't know when the restart will happen. Business and science must work together to determine this and to ensure a phased approach. The worst case scenario would be a stop-start, resulting in a second wave of the disease. However, as Amartya Sen, the Nobel laureate, has said, people die from disease, but they also, sadly, die from unemployment. As we move from renewal to revival, government will need to think about how it supports business, with the taxpayer funding critical public services. This could be in the form of lower VAT, reduced national insurance contributions or holidays, increased support for research and development, or a wider investment program for businesses. Our new digital operating environment demands creativity. As Microsoft has noted, we've seen 2 years' worth of digital transformation in 2 months. The new working environment will reflect that in the form of more flexible working, and business will become more effective and productive. This will be challenging for the commercial property market and raises real questions about the future of the high street. We need to think creatively. We'll need new solutions beyond shopping malls and flats. The good news is that there is never a bad time to start a business. Lord Billimoria's business started in a recession 30 years ago, as did Microsoft. We must continue to collaborate. Collaboration between business, government, the NHS, science, and the armed forces has helped bring us through this chapter and, to an extent, counteracted the UK's lack of preparedness. Collaboration powers innovation and entrepreneurialism. As we move forward, we will capture the value of this over the long term. And Lord Billimoria cited the 7 C's involved in a crisis. We must have calm, confidence, communication, collaboration, community, compassion, and cash. Lord Billimoria is moving into one of the most pivotal roles in British business, president of the CBI, at the time when relations between the government and the business community are arguably under severe strain. He's a pragmatist who can bring about the collaboration restoring the economy will require.